Hello and welcome to today's SearchTelecom.com podcast. Who needs a next generation network services architecture anyway? That's a mouthful, and my name is Kate Gerwig. I'm the editor of SearchTelecom.com. My guest today is Tom Knoll, the president of CIMI Corporation. Tom makes frequent appearances on the site with his analysis and fortune-telling capabilities about the telecommunications industry. But today he's with us in a different role as chief strategist for the Alpha One release of Xperia Sphere, a prototype for the first open telecom services architecture for next-gen IP networks. Tom, welcome.
Oh, thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here.
Since you're coming to us in a different role today than usual, can you give us the 10,000-foot view first of what is Xperia Sphere as its chief strategist, and we will take it from there.
Sounds good. Xperia Sphere is a project to create, based on open source license principles, a toolkit using the Java programming languages that would allow a service provider, a developer, an equipment vendor, pretty much anyone who wanted to create next generation services architectures, including both service logic and service management, and to then deploy these structures with relatively simple web-oriented interfaces as a means of generating service partnerships vertically to developers and horizontally with other service providers to create global scale next generation networks.
Now, as far as I understand, some of those efforts have already been underway, so I'm wondering, why did you decide to develop this open source toolkit? And what kind of problem are we trying to solve for the industry?
Okay. The reason why we've tried to do this with open source really arises out of the fact that while there have been standards efforts launched to try to accommodate these kinds of issues and to solve the problems that we're talking about, these standards efforts have made relatively modest progress, many would say no progress, in 2 to 4 years. And part of the difficulty is that the standards bodies are attempting to do a software standard without really involving software development, without involving even software developers and experimentation. And so what Xperia Sphere was trying to do was to create an environment where we could prototype things, where we could try things, see how they worked, change them as necessary, a much more dynamic, much more developer, much more web-friendly kind of an approach.
Does the web orientation of this platform, does it take the standards bodies out of their normal comfort zone?
I think it takes the standards bodies rather considerably out of their comfort zone. I can tell you that the reaction that Xperia Sphere gets from standards people is varied. There are some that have sent me emails that are just incredibly supportive of what's up here. And there are other ones who think that I might very possibly be the last bastion of international communism, you know, or something like that. I guess that diversity is not an unusual thing, considering the diversity of people who were involved in standards.
Now, you're in the Alpha One phase at the moment. What will happen next with this Xperia Sphere if you don't get all sorts of flames from the standards bodies?
Okay. The Xperia Sphere as a total concept really is based on two pillars. One of them is the pillar of experience control, which is what the Alpha One release illustrates. And the other one is the pillar of social-based communications. And social-based communications is going to be our Alpha 2 target. That's based on another interior concept in Xperia Sphere called Sociopath, S-O-C-I-O, capital P-A-T-H.
I like that, and it appeals to so many people.
Exactly. It's I think for technology, it's almost a given. But the value of Sociopath is to create the first communications framework that's built on communication relationships and not on communicating people. The telephone model is a model that's based on individuals. The sociopath model is based on communities of individuals.
And will you have are you gaining a global group of people to work with you on the second phase?
We're certainly attempting to. I've gotten a lot more interest in this from people in Europe, in Asia, and in the U.S. Since we've had the Alpha 1 release and we've gotten a little bit of publicity for it. The fact is that I've done most of the programming so far with ExperiSphere. And even though I'm a software architect by background, this is not keeping the lights on for me, and I would really be eager to surrender this to a broader community. But and once we get Sociopath done, and that finishes Alpha 1 and Alpha 2, the next step will be the beta release, which will be a cleaned up and stable version of the toolkit, which will then be put on the SourceForge open source foundry. From that point onward, it should be possible to engage developers more broadly. Right now, it's a little bit difficult because I have to spend a fair amount of time getting somebody up to speed. It's really not a totally practical thing to bring 100 developers into a process where there's only one person at the present time that really understands it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say, since you released the Alpha 1 phase, you've been getting ExperiSphere has been getting quite a bit of attention. And one of the headlines I read said that you are taking on IMS. Is this true?
It is true in a sense. So obviously, unless I were totally and frankly delusional, one of my own sociopaths, I would have to realize that it's unlikely that a one person consulting activity is going to really pose a technical commercial threat to IMS. But in another sense, what I'm doing is posing a conceptual or philosophical threat. IMS is a very closed architecture. It's an architecture that, despite the fact that it could be opened up, is based on really rigorous and limited principles of service control. And what ExperiSphere presumes is that services are what people are willing to pay for. Right. There can't be any technical constraint put on the service process, or those technical constraints will translate into revenue loss. And so, unlike IMS, ExperiSphere doesn't care whether you're doing sessions, whether you're doing HTTP, whether you're doing FTP. There's no protocol sensitivities, there's no technical restrictions, or anything like that. It's a much more flexible, much more diverse model. And I've made a number of attempts to convince some of the IMS community to adopt a more flexible approach within IMS itself. And I have to say that those haven't been met with an enormous amount of success.
Not a lot of success, you say. But in other words, when IMS sort of came into everyone's mind, is it at this point a solution to the wrong problem?
I think it is. I think IMS is a solution to how to do public switched voice, or ISDN, over IP. And with the announcement, for example, by Nokia that they're going to put Skype clients on their high-end phones, the telecom community has already determined, in my view, the next generation voice is going to have to be extremely different from past generations of voice. And so an architecture like IMS that attempts to take past voice practices and transliterate them into IP network behavior is probably significantly behind the times.
Okay, so what about the standard setting process? Does anyone in standard setting sort of agree with you on that, and is anything likely to change in terms of how ExperiSphere might work with emerging standards?
What we tried to do with ExperiSphere and standards, very frankly, was to almost immunize ExperiSphere against them, meaning that the standards processes are very diverse. Andrew Tannenbaum, a fairly famous consultant and author, once said that the wonderful thing about standards was that there were so many of them to choose from. That challenge is a real challenge, and when you add to it the fact that some of the standards that are relevant to ExperiSphere have actually been underway for years, there's obviously a level of standards dynamism, shall we say, that would be hard to accommodate. Mm-hmm. So what ExperiSphere does is it assumes that it connects to other things via a simple Java mechanism that we call a messenger. And a messenger is just something that talks the language of somebody else. And so to develop ExperiSphere support for a given standard, you simply need to have a messenger for that standard, which is, in most cases, going to be a week or 2 weeks of development activity. And so we're happy to accommodate whatever standards come along in this space. We're just not prepared to wait for them.
Okay, so you could move ahead and then set the standards in place as they are approved?
Exactly. We can retrofit Xperia Sphere to match any standard process. Whether that would be worthwhile to do or not would depend on just exactly how widespread the implementation of the standards were. But the wonderful thing about open source is that anyone who disagrees with any decision that I make has a perfect right to go in there and make it their work the way they want it to work.
In terms of the global service providers that you have talked to about this concept, are they comfortable with this sort of approach?
They're comfortable with it in the sense that they like open source. There's actually been a number of initiatives launched in some of the standards bodies like the TMF to try to encourage the use of open source software. There are a number of open source IMS implementations that are floating around in some state of development or another. Smaller service providers, Tier 2s and Tier 3s, routinely use open source software. The reason I went to an open source model on this, instead of doing the obvious and trying to sell it as a product, is that I recognized that service providers would have a lot more confidence in this if they knew that they weren't dependent on a small organization for the code, because if that small organization failed or changed priorities, they'd be vulnerable. With open source, they can carry this forward any way they want to, with any set of partners they want to, and even whether CIMI is in business or out of business or involved or not involved with Xperia Sphere has no real relevance to the stability and future of Xperia Sphere as an architecture.
So it gives them flexibility then?
Exactly.
Okay. As one sociopath to another, I think we could go on and talk about this all day long, but unfortunately we are out of time for today. Tom, I hope you'll come back and talk to us about the next phase of Xperia Sphere. Did I forget to ask you anything crucial that you would like to add?
Not a thing. You did marvelously, as always.
Oh, and you as well. All right. Thank you, Tom, for joining us, and we'll check back with you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, for everybody, for listening, and there's more on searchtelecom.com on Xperia Sphere. Thanks for joining us.